Hello and welcome to episode number 40 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty. Hello, Robert? Robert? Where's Robert? The chair's empty. What do I do? Ella, help!
You know, I just noticed that the pillow is behind you. So if I'm not there, you get the pillow? Is that in our contract? Have we worked that out?
Look, first of all, if you're not here, I'm in charge of everything here. And number two, where are you?
I am in an Airbnb, and it should be easily discernible from the background here what state I am in. I am in the light blue and beachy state of Florida.
Are B. Arthur and Betty White about to walk through the door?
I mean, I really want to pull out some of the wicker that's in here and just hold it up. There is a lot of wicker. There's a lot of tile on the floor. We are straight up Florida right now.
I see. So now that now the basketball season's over, you're doing a little working vacation, huh?
I mean, not even working. I put up a post on the site and said, "All right, see you. Check the site again in 10 days." I put up the gone fishing sign, and I am forgetting everything, and my wife and I are spending some quality away time. So this has been great so far.
But you're willing to record a podcast remotely.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff to talk about. There's not stuff to write about, but there's plenty to talk about. In fact, I really want to talk about this stuff. Like, I want to really talk about the retention.
The retention shall be discussed. I'm so honored that even though you're wanting to get away and forget about it all, you'll spend some time with me.
Yes, this should be fun. I'm actually looking forward to this topic because I can let my brain wander a little bit with possibilities.
Well, while it's apparent from your background that you're somewhere in Florida, it should be apparent from my background that we're inside the Armory at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. And yes, I get the pillow. I get the I logo thing behind me. I always get the pennant anyway.
Right.
And you know,
isn't the I logo thing your son's? Like when you first brought it in, you said you brought it from your son's room. Has he brought it up and said, like, hey, Dad, when do I get my sign back?
He has not, but maybe it's a badge of honor that something got taken from him to be used on this.
That's a great
light
point.
The eye.
That's a great point.
You know what else I get while I'm here and you're
you
not?
To light the eye. I know. I'm worried about it.
I get to light the eye.
I don't even
eye.
Know what color you're going to go with.
I'm going straight up traditional. Okay. As God intended, an orange eye. And we will talk about retention. We will talk about a little bit of what's going on in this world of spring sports. That and much more. First up. I'm pressing the button. Somehow this reverted to green. Because we had Shauna Green on last time. Was it orange?
I'm telling you, the wheel is so sensitive. You touch that side of it and it's going to go green.
Oh, great. Everyone who's watching this thinking, well, would Scott be a suitable substitute to turn on the eye? Well, clearly he can't handle the job. Look at that. I didn't mean to, but I'll leave it alone. I've reverted it to orange.
Now we're back.
Now we are so back. Ella Peterson is here, our producer. Hello, Ella.
Totally forgot to unmute my mic. Hi, guys.
Hello. I wanted to give you a shout out because I really wanted to give myself a shout out too. You and I are both working on the same endeavor, and that's next week's Illinois half marathon.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So I have to ask, how was your 12-mile yesterday or over the weekend, whenever you ran it? Because most people, not everybody, I don't know, a lot of running plans, if you're going to train for a half marathon, tell you to run 12 miles the weekend out, right?
Well, they do say that.
So did you get your 12-miler in?
No shot. No. You know, it was...
to be 20 again.
I did this last year. I think the most I ran before the half was 8 miles, and then I'm just gonna rip it on Saturday and
no,
have a great time.
Youth.
Yeah, and you can do that.
Yeah,
you can do that.
My best friend, who I ran cross country with, is coming to run it with me. So we're really just gonna talk and run, and hopefully the 13 go fast. But no, I did not run.
And
12.
You're still gonna blaze by me, aren't you?
Like maybe.
I mean, I'm at a slow plodding pace at this stage in my life. Back in the day in my 20s, and I was never an elite cross-country racer or anything like that. But in my 20s, I could do a sub 2-hour half marathon. It's going to be more like 2 hours and 20 minutes if things go well. But I did the 12-miler yesterday, and let me tell you, I'm sore.
Let me tell you, I feel great. I ran 3. Yeah.
I think we've learned a lesson here, Scott.
Yeah.
Really excited. Nope, it'll be a fun Saturday morning.
It's going to be a shining weekend next weekend for Champaign-Urbana because the marathon, well, it's called the race weekend because there's multiple different events. It's just, I love a marathon event. The first time I ever went to one, my sister was running one in Chicago, and it's such all these throngs of people, and everybody's just having a good time, encouraging people, and everybody's just accomplishing stuff, personal goals, and you get the wheelchair racers that come first, and then the people that come by that you're like, how is it even humanly possible to be running the pace you're running for that sustained amount of time? And then everybody else coming through and they're running for somebody, or just, you know, it's just a feel good time.
Oh, I did it with my dad last year. We did the I half challenge. So as you run the 3 miles or the 5K on Friday night, turn around and run the half on Saturday morning. And we had a great time. It was so fun.
You know, Robert, question. This is where you say,
what?
Robert, this is where you say, you know, I could probably just go run a 5K right now.
I could not. Zero chance. Oh, my wife and I walked.
You're aware of your limits. Oh, now you're aware of your limits.
We hiked. Like taking 13,000 steps yesterday has me sore today. So, no, I'm not in shape for a 5K. My question is, does the half end in the stadium or just the full marathon?
Yeah.
Half does?
Yep, it ends.
So there's a midway turnaround point and come back.
No, basically you do a large loop mostly through Urbana. Mm. And it's funny because last year was the first time I ran it. You come back around and there is a split point not far from the stadium. I think it's on, is it on Peabody? It's right around the, it's like around 4th and it's like right here. It's right around 4th and Gregory.
Where
somewhere
the
around
full
there.
Marathoners go back out again and the half marathoners head to the stadium?
Right. And so at that point, I'm like, you know, I'm on fumes and you're just like, I'm almost done. And there's this split point where if you're a marathoner, if you're going 26, go this way and you're going to go run a big loop through Champaign and Savoy and come back to the stadium. And it's at that point that I'm going, how in the world would anybody be able to go another whatever it is you just did? But I get to go this way and go finish the thing and then get a banana and some other goodies.
I've always said if I would ever run a marathon, it would never be the Illinois one. Like, it would have to be Chicago, where everybody has to run 26.2, because there's no more of a defeating feeling than seeing people really excited next to you because they get to turn into the stadium and you're only halfway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think anybody who runs the Illinois Marathon, huge props to you. That's got to be so tough at that halfway point.
Well, Ella, you and I spent the weekend with Illinois baseball in various capacities, so we got to talk about that. And should I tell Robert about the Ducks?
I mean, it's a bit of a depressing Duck story now, but sure.
But maybe, all right, we'll save that for when the second half of the episode we'll talk about the Ducks, not just the Oregon Ducks, but some actual Ducks. All right. Illinois baseball did have an exciting win, so I do want to talk about that. But we need to talk about the retention. Is there like music? But it's not just retention for Illinois basketball. It's also additions.
Yes.
And it's not just additions. There's some subtractions. So I don't know what amalgamation of, what do they call it, like a portmanteau? Is that a word?
You can try to put all three words together.
Yeah, yeah. A retraction. Nope, that doesn't work. A re-attraction.
Look,
a retract. a retrad action.
This is where you just let the public decide. And on Twitter, it was decided that this is hashtag the retention. So I think the determination has already been made as to what we're going to be talking about, like what this is called, because we're in the transfer portal era and most everyone just came back. And that's very, very, very rare. And so I think the
wait a minute. How would you know? How would you know, sir? Hang on. You get the camera on me so I can point my finger at him. How would you know? You said you mute all the portal words and all the things. You wouldn't know anything, and you don't care till May. It's still April.
My filter is applied through, I just find out stuff when the group texts I'm part of want to talk about it. So,
oh, that's right.
It just allows it to enter my brain secondarily. It's funny because I'll get texts from people of like, my gosh, what great news. And I'm like, yes, the great news that happened. So then I'm like, okay, well, if I go look for the great news, any tweets with the word portal in it are going to be muted and I won't see them. So I need to find out what this great news is so I can discuss this with this person. So it's always funny because people think like, oh, he does this full time. He must be paying attention all the time to all. Nope. I learn it from friends who text me to talk about it. Like, yep, didn't know that until you just told me.
Robert's rules. Break the rules.
It is Robert's rules, 100%.
Robert, we have to. I keep forgetting to write down Robert's rules of order here on how things happen. All right. Mm-hmm. But last week, since you and I last talked here on the pod, there was, well, a couple of things happened. David Mirkovic announced he is coming back.
Yes.
So that was sort of the first domino, if you will.
That was Wednesday afternoon. Yep.
Yep. And then that evening was the Coaches versus Cancer event that Brad Underwood hosts annually, a little bit northeast of here at Gordyville, USA. It's out by Gifford. It's a great agricultural exposition hall. You show livestock or whatever, but you know they clear that out and put 1,000 people or whatever it is in there and raise a lot of money for a good
people.
1,900. Wow. They stuffed that thing. Yeah.
Yep.
And in years past, he has brought in usually other coaches, celebrity coaches, if you will, to be his guest at this event to raise money. Like Tom Izzo's been there, Fran McCaffrey, Bill Self has come back, Greg Campy from Oakland. He's even brought Bo Borowski, an official. But this year, the guests were the players of the Final Four team. So this kind of had a dual purpose to be the celebration event. You may, of course, you remember back in 05 when the Final Four team returned, they had a big celebration in the football stadium. That didn't happen this year. I think they used this Gordyville Coaches versus Cancer event, Kicking Cancer. But also it became a place for some announcements. The Ivicic twins both announced, one of them by chugging a beer. Can we just stop a second? Mm-hmm. I think it went, you know, in viral, but somebody handed Tomislav Ivicic asked for a drink and somebody handed him a beer.
Yes.
We are now in the era of college athletics where yes, there's portal and you can switch. And yeah, gambling is not necessarily universally allowed, like in Illinois, but it's pretty ubiquitous. And a college athlete can chug a beer.
Yep.
On stage with his coach.
I actually asked permission to tweet the video before I did it, just to make sure. Like, so here's the thing. Do you remember when they used to do that thing called the smoker over in Peoria? This is 20 plus years ago. And like sports writers would be invited. They would have the Bradley coach, the Illinois coach, the Illinois State coach, the sports writers, some local, I don't know, Lions Club or Knights of Columbus. I don't know, some kind of thing like that, that they would host it at this. And it was always this, like what's said at the smoker stays at the smoker. This is not for the reporters to come back and say, it's for the coaches to feel like they're off the record and, you know, get a little loose with it. So I was a little concerned after, you know, I had the video ready of the players committing since I was at the event. You know, I get a table every year and had a bunch of Illini board people there and everything else. So I'm at the event as a fan, not as a media member, and I wasn't sure if it was okay. You know, it's just a weird thought of like, oh, I just took a picture of Tommy chugging a beer and then saying, you know, burping, holding up a finger like, hold on, that went quickly, and then saying, I'm back, and the crowd going nuts. And it's like, okay, is this under the smoker category, or is this under the this is college basketball in 2026 category? And so, you know, I was told it was okay to tweet it and put it out there. So it's just, I agree. It's weird. It's so strange to have that be college basketball now.
I should note that when you're 7'1" and you chug a beer, that's like me sipping, taking a sip.
Yes. Yes. Right? Good point. Yes. In his hand.
But either way,
like, it's like the Andre the Giant photo with holding the beer can. Like, it's so tiny. It's so
but either way, for the young ones out there, and even Ella, don't let this influence you into bad choices. All right. We don't want, you know, just because Tommy did it doesn't mean everyone else should do it. Right.
Well, hey.
But everyone else should come back. I mean, the comeback part, that should be setting an example.
He's 22. No, I mean, he can drink a beer.
What's that?
He's 22. Like, you know, he's.
Oh, I know. He's
of legal drinking age. It was all good. Look, it was a lot of fun there because I'll just share some things from the event. One, David Mirkovic is the most popular Illini player since D-Brown. I think it's settled. Like, Kofi was hugely popular. Io was hugely popular.
Popular in a beyond basketball way, right?
The people responding to anything he said, you know, that event, well, whoever Underwood's guests are, and, you know, last year was the Oakland coach, and, you know, it's been Izzo, it's been Bill Self, it's been Lon Kruger, it's been a collection of guys. On your table when you arrive is a question card, and you talk about it with your table. What question do we want to ask? And then Tim Sinclair and Brian Barnhart are the two hosts, and they ask the questions, and, you know, some are funny, and, you know, the Oakland coach Greg Camping was so funny last year, and, you know, it's that kind of event. You're gonna laugh a lot when you go to this event, and Underwood is great at being the kind of host of the whole thing. So some of the questions were asked of Andre, and some of the questions were these questions are for Keaton and that kind of thing. The way people sit up and get on the edge of their seat when David Mirkovic is about to say something, the way people respond and like applaud and everything else, he is incredibly popular with the fan base. It is like, I saw a whole new level of, okay, this guy is a rock star with this fan base. So yes, it was so fascinating. And I think it was a little apt that he announced before then, because his announcement probably would have dwarfed the other three just because he's so popular, just because the crowd responds so much to what he's saying. So it was a fun night, and he's a hilarious dude.
That's what a little piece of what when we were talking about favorite things about the past season, it's part of that. Here is a set of guys from halfway around the world, but they're being treated at this point like they grew up here.
Yes.
They're so beloved.
Yes.
And the fact that they're staying, too, will ingrain them even more.
And
should also say, let's not forget Jake Davis also announced.
Yes.
At the event.
He. One more thing about David. He can play to the crowd, too. Like, one of the questions, and I'm guessing they got this, 1,900 people is a lot of people in one. Picture a massive wedding reception you've been to that's 300 people. Okay, now take that times five. Like, this was a massive, times six and a half. Like, it was a massive, massive room full of people.
Six and a third, but okay.
Yes. More academic probation jokes. excuse me.
Or just fractions.
Yes.
But anyway.
But so I'm guessing of the hundreds of tables that were there, I'm guessing that at least 50 of the tables, the question they wrote down was, what was the secret that Tommy whispered to you on the live broadcast? And he was all ready for it. He quoted himself with the, like, secret, I cannot tell secret. You know, he did the whole, he played it up, he paused, he did the whole thing so well. The crowd roared with laughter. He is, I turned to my wife at the time and I was like, look, he's even got comedic timing down. Like, you know, he played that perfectly with a pause here will be really good kind of thing. So it was that great. And look, I made a little joke on Twitter of like, look, everybody's saying that with Mihailo Petrovic leaving that they aren't the Balkan Five anymore, but have we forgot about Jake Davich? And really, honestly, he has the same agent as these guys. He has the guy from Serbia that, you know, Nikola Jokic's agent is Jake Davis's agent. And I think I'm just going to call him Jake Davich for the next year because he is so ingrained with those guys and they view him as like the fifth Balkan. You know, like you get the fifth Beatle. He's the fifth Balkan. And he really does fit with that kind of thing. And, you know, they joke about it and they're taking him over there this summer and this and that. So he absolutely fills that role. If it's still a Balkan Five for next year, Jake Davich is the fifth one.
Hey, Serbia, Croatia, Montenegro, Indiana, they all go together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jake Davis is from Indiana. What was interesting is you left that night going, well, what about Andrei Stojakovic?
I very stupidly wrote, well, I guess this, you know, the crowd was chanting his name, trying to get him to commit. Andre, like almost 2,000 people chanting Andre, and he just sat there smiling and waved them off. So I was like, yep. I mean, if he's not going to take this opportunity to announce, I think he's gone. And what does he do on Saturday? He comes back.
Well, I'm surprised at you jumping to a conclusion early, yeah. Robert. But
what? Do something brash? No way.
But him coming back, I don't know if it is connected to John Blackwell or not. Some have speculated that it was going to be one or the other. I don't know if that's true or not. I would have loved to see a world where John Blackwell and Andrei Stojakovic lived together on the court, but apparently that's not going to happen. However, last year, we wondered about the guard position. And Keaton Wagler was not being talked about that much at this point a year ago. Well, there's quite a bit in the addition category. We talked about the retention, but the addition category. Ethan Brown, I think they really like him. He's a Missouri kid. He's committed a while ago. Got Lucas Murillo. Murillo? I think it's Murillo. Do we know?
I don't know. I mean, Yeah, I've pronounced it Mario, but I don't know. Remember, everybody was saying Wagler, and it turned out to be Wagler, so I don't know.
Right. Stefan Vox from Providence, the transfer, who can shoot some and pick and roll, and he's really good. Kind of a bigger-bodied guy, kind of reminds me a little bit of a Ben Hummerkaus, Marcus Damascus-ish. Kind of bigger guard type of feel. So you have that. And then this probably won't excite you, Robert, and you probably don't even know about it again because you mute things. But there was a guy who committed a little bit ago and is officially signed. He's from the St. Louis area. He's just a five-star, though, and his name's Quentin Coleman. And when Illinois posted about it, they said, bragging about this one. This is from the official Twitter account.
Beautiful.
Bragging about this one.
Such a good tweet. What's the record now? 36-20 in bragging rights? 36-19? Yeah, we need to get that back to double. Like, I'm only comfortable when bragging rights is we have twice as many wins as Missouri. But with Quentin Coleman, I'm going to bring Ella back in here. with Quentin Coleman. Again, he goes to Principia, which is a private high school in Town and Country, Missouri, in, you know, just a near western suburb. But Ella, do you know where Quentin Coleman is from?
Well, he went to my, you can go quote unquote, rival middle school, so just around the corner.
Okay, wait a second. Now I need to know this. I know one of them. Did he go to Fulton or did he go to the other one?
All right. Okay. Put some respect. I went to Cariel. He went to Fulton. Well, we didn't go at the same time, obviously. But this was awesome. So I feel like this is fine. My brother sent a text to my family group chat back in February that said Brad Underwood at Peel, which is my favorite restaurant of all time in downtown O'Fallon. Mm-hmm. Every time I go back home, my first meal is Peel. And we were all like, what in the world is Brad Underwood doing in O'Fallon, Illinois? So my favorite restaurant now is connected forever to landing Quentin Coleman as an Illinois recruit. So that's my O'Fallon story.
Are you ready for my O'Fallon story?
Can't wait.
Your junior high, Ella? Named after the father of my high school girlfriend. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. My senior prom.
Amelia Cariel?
No. He went to Fulton. Okay, sorry, no.
Yeah, he went to Fulton.
Wrong one.
Okay.
Yes. Fulton was named after my, I shouldn't say this aloud because it could be like sent to her or something. But yes, my senior year prom date, I was dating a girl from O'Fallon. A few years later, unfortunately, I'm going to take this the wrong turn. Her father passed away and he was the longtime band director at the junior high. And so they named the junior high after him. And so that's why it is Ed Fulton Junior High. So there you go. We have now filled everybody in on the last name of my senior year prom date.
Well, I don't think you're telling too many secrets there. And I can say her father, late father, was a band director, then we know he was a good man.
Yes. Yes. There's a lot more stories there. But I'm going to leave them alone for now. I could go off in crazy Robert directions with this, but I won't.
Yeah, your high school dating life could probably be behind the paywall instead of on the pod.
But I'll keep that on the liner board and not on the podcast. That's right. That's right.
So are you just extra beaming with pride then? Because for both of you, because you get a
Metro Easter.
What's the term? Yeah, Metro Easter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean.
And who is the football guy you were delighted about?
Are you talking about Hankins from Belleville?
Yes.
Because he's Metro East. Yeah. Yes. Nick Hankins Jr. Mm-hmm. Look, yeah, so Metro East, I've given the thing before. The largest collection of Illini fans in the country is obviously Chicago. There's 9.5 million people, whatever. You know, obviously the largest collection of fans is right there in Chicagoland. Number two is the Metro East. There are 700,000 people in Madison and St. Clair counties, and most of them are all Illini fans, and it is concentrated with, I mean, it's where I grew up to be an Illini fan. It's where Ella grew up to be an Illini fan. And it's where they provided us guys like Malcolm Hill and everything else. And the next one is Quentin Coleman.
How do you encapsulate all of this? You've got a core back. You've got freshman talent coming in. You've got at least one significant piece added from the portal that will help replace, not fully, you can't really replace a freshman All-American unless you happen to have another one coming, and you can't fully replace the unique skill set of Ben Hummerkaus. But so far, I'm not seeing a reason to discount Illinois contending in the same way they did this year.
Let's have, since I'm on the full screen, Ella, leave me full screen here. You two talk amongst yourselves with hand signals of how quickly you think I can do this. I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to expound on it, but it's probably going to go a little long, and I'm probably going to repeat myself a couple times. So I'd like the two of you to take bets and then time me on how long I'm going to rant here. And then once you're done with that, I will begin, and you can set the timer, and I can just go on the 2026-2027 Illini. So place your bets now as to how long. I'm going to try to do it quickly. I'll try to knock it out. But do you have your guesses
locked
in?
Is this before or after? I mean, longer or shorter than? Because we have, you know, we each have placed our time. So what if you go longer than one but shorter than the other?
It's good. Price is Right.
Or is it like closest to the pin here? Is it closest without going over? Oh, shoot.
All right, bets have been placed. I'm going to go ahead and start the timer in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We haven't experienced this, okay? We have not experienced a team like this coming back. Let's just start with the Final Four teams. Let's go with the we can even bring in the Elite Eight teams in a bit. The Final Four teams were 1989. You lost Nick Anderson. You lost several of – you lost, let's see, Lowell Hamilton graduated. You lost other guys. You got Marcus Liberty back, but you weren't expected at this level with Gill and Liberty. You know, you were going to have to rely on Larry Smith to step in. You were going to have to rely on P.J. Bowman, you know, others, 89 to 90. 05, you were still excited about the 06 team, but you lost Luther Head. You lost Darren Williams. You lost Roger Powell. You weren't bringing back the same kind of thing. For this team, you are bringing back – look, let's start with who you lost. You lost Boswell and Hummerkaus for seniors, and you lost Keaton Wagler, who was a second-team All-American. It's going to be hard to replace a second-team All-American. For us to sit here and say Quentin Coleman can be a second-team All-American, that he's Wagler 2.0 – that puts way too much on the kid. We've never had a Wagler before. It might be 20 years before we have a true freshman who is second-team All-American. But Coleman is really good. And the sum of the parts here, when you get all of these players back, I feel like I saw a debate the other day on what this team is, and it's like, well, I mean, if you just take who they got, sure, maybe it's a push between – Stefan Vox and Kylan Boswell, but Wagler is way, way better than anybody else that they're going to bring in, and they also lost Hummerkaus. It's not going to be the same, blah, blah, blah. What people are forgetting is that you have steps forward from both of the Avisich brothers. You have a step forward from Andre Stojakovic. You have a step forward, a sophomore leap from David Mirkovic. That's the thing that really hasn't existed before. Probably the closest is maybe 01 to 02, the Elite Eight team that brought a lot back. But that season kind of went off the rails when Lucas Johnson tore his ACL in the fall. And, you know, there were a lot of other injuries and other things that happened. And, you know, that's a whole other thing. But that's probably maybe the closest to this. What this is you have what's likely to be a top five team preseason. It's just something Illinois fans have experienced. Illinois fans haven't had a three seed go to the Final Four before. You got a three seed, goes to the Final Four, and then gets a ton back and adds a guy like Vox and a guy like Coleman, and then whatever you get from the other freshmen is going to be that. So this is going to be hype like we have not seen. Once the 2005 season got rolling, yes, there was hype. Once they beat number one, you know, I think they started that season number 5 in the polls, beat Wake Forest as number 4 and jumped all the way up to number 1 and stayed number 1 until the final weekend. Yes, that was hype. But this is something different. This is core pieces back. If you can find a go-to scorer like Wagler, and maybe it is Quentin Coleman, and if you can maybe get one more scorer, you know, if maybe we say Vox replaces Boswell and Coleman replaces Wagler and then you need a Ben replacement, then you're pretty much there with a locked in top five team. So this, we are in unprecedented territory. There have been teams that lost along the way. 04 lost to Duke in the Sweet 16, came back, and they're like, hey, Illinois's got everybody back. That could be a really good team next year, and they proved to get there. There has not been a, hey, there's a Final Four team. Should they be preseason number one? we are in uncharted territory. Stop the clock. How we do?
So I'm trying to extend my parking session. How do I do that? On my meter?
I think you only get 2 hours. Some of those meters you can't extend. It's a 2 hour
max. Why does it off? Why does it say extend and then I press extend and it says you cannot extend this further?
Because you're in one of those spaces that you have to move your car if you want another 2 hours.
So I should have done that during your thing. Not that I didn't think it was worthwhile.
Ella, how'd we do on the clock?
I'm going to be honest. Official time, 4 minutes and 34 seconds. I was flashing a 10 over to Scott.
Wow. I went 7?
For how long? Wow. So I think, you know what? I'm all for saying what needs to be said.
Look,
so
this just means I
got it in one take wonder.
Both of you were over, so I win both showcase showdowns. These are prices for yeah. rules.
Take it all.
You get both the boat busted. And the mattress yes. and the new bedroom set.
Yes.
This, you get a new Florida style bedroom.
A trip to Puerto Vallarta. Okay. I'm pretty excited about this. Yeah, I was good, man. I felt like a tight five was working there. So yes, unprecedented. Now that also probably means hype that will never be met. You know, like people are going to enter this season once it really gets rolling as it's basically a national championship or bust. You know, don't win a national championship. This was a failed season, and that's going to put way too much pressure on Quentin Coleman to suddenly be Keaton Wagler or whatever. But yes, it's going to be, we haven't gotten a lot of pieces back from a Final Four team, and this is going to be a big, big deal.
Going to throw a deep cut from The West Wing, one of my favorite
always
television
West Wing
shows.
And I have zero references to West Wing.
Okay.
Hit me.
It's okay though.
Yes.
You know, so they're just, he's running for re-election, and he's the bright academic candidate, the president, Martin Sheen's character, President Bartlett. And he's running against kind of this vacuous populist opponent. And they're having internal discussions about how many debates to have, and they want to have as many debates as possible because they think they can crush the opponent because they can show him to be so much smarter and all that. But they're having this whole thing about, but if we do this too much, if we only do one debate and we don't do well in that one debate, it could really, you know, so what do we do? And finally, the line from CJ Craig is, when you can't lower expectations, the only thing you can do is meet them. That's what I feel like this year will be about.
I like that.
You can't lower your expectations now for this basketball program. There's the only thing to do for them is to go out and meet them. And so far, they are showing that they could, in fact, go do that.
Yeah.
Is it going to be fair to be angry or upset in a negative way if they don't meet those expectations? Maybe not, because of how hard it is to do what they just did for a variety of reasons, health being one of them. A number of things that have to go right for a team to make the Final Four. It's pretty incredible. There's a lot of good basketball teams that never make it.
Yep.
In a year. Or that won't make it because, you know, it's an elimination tournament.
And Duke, look at the last two Duke teams. Probably that Duke team that completely dismantled Illinois and New York City last year plays 5 bad minutes on their way to the title and loses to Houston in the semifinal, and that's a ball game. Like that Duke team with Knipple and with Flag and everybody else had so much NBA talent. They were so much better than everybody else. And you play 5 bad minutes and it's over. And then what do they do this year? They didn't even make the Final Four. They played another 5 bad minutes and blow a lead against UConn and miss the Final Four. So yeah, it's tough, tough to do.
It's going to be fun to see how this goes. It's pretty cool, this retention. And I don't know. We'll see if there's any other pieces that are coming yet.
Need one more, maybe. I guess it depends on how they feel about all these freshmen. If they think one of these freshmen can fill, if let's just say, let's not say compare players, but let's say minutes. And let's say Wagler and Boswell's minutes are taken by Coleman and Vox. Then you just need somebody who's going to fill Ben's minutes. And maybe it's Lucas Murillo, and maybe it's Ethan Brown, and maybe it's this Xavier Zenz guy, or maybe it's one more transfer. So we will see.
Yeah. Also want to give a proper farewell to Ty Rogers, who's in the portal, according to reports. What could have been if Ty Rogers was able to contribute in the last 2 years? Program guy, beloved. It's too bad that he never got to log a minute in the last couple of seasons, but I think he should be appreciated to the max.
Yeah, it really is too bad. I did have that. I turned to somebody like when things were going so poorly against UConn and they jumped out to what, a 14-point lead in the second half. I told somebody like, what if, what would this crowd do, this very pro Illini crowd, if like Underwood just turned a tie and like want to burn the red shirt right now, and he just came in the game in the set, you know, hadn't played all season and comes into the semifinal. Obviously he's not going to do that. He's not going to burn an entire year of eligibility, but that would have been the greatest Illini, let's call it a wrestling moment of like, oh my God, is that Ty Rogers music? Is he coming in the
Ty
game
Rogers
right now?
Ty Rogers has entered the ring.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, that, yeah, God bless that kid. The luck he's had with the injuries and everything else, and I hope he goes and kills it somewhere.
In our last episode, Shauna Green was here, head coach of women's basketball. And she said, we're doing things a little bit differently in terms of publicizing players coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So there was sort of a sneaky, I'm back from Destiny Jackson, lead point guard, freshman this year. It was just slipped into an Instagram from Calamity McIntyre, who's the associate head coach. And so it's out there now. She said, I'm coming back, but the program's not going to formally say so-and-so is coming back or this player or that player, because they more want us treated as the norm. That's the expectation. Mm-hmm. Kind of like I didn't put out a post over the weekend saying I'm coming back to this podcast just because, you know, you said to me you expect that I just will return. So yes. Not to make a big deal about it. You know, you never know. I mean, last week could have been my last episode, and I just needed to announce I was coming back.
I didn't announce.
My agent said it would be good. My agent said it would be good for my.
That would be cool.
I have no agent. That's an agent.
Broadcasters should have agents, right?
Even if it's just like
Joey Tribbiani's agent on Friends. Like, I can't remember.
Broadcasters of a certain level have agents.
Yes.
Ella, maybe one day if you go in that path, let me know. Be happy to have you, you know, land me some gigs.
Mm-hmm.
But this is probably one of those moments she's behind a screen where I can't, or behind monitors, I can't see her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So anyway, I just think like both programs seem to be retaining their course, and both programs are going to be going in with elevated expectations next year.
Yeah. When you win Divine Burridge and everything else, if you get everybody back, you could see what? Illinois basketball, number 3 preseason. Women's basketball, number 12 preseason. I mean, it's all possible now.
Very cool. All right, when we come back, we'll switch to a few other items. Maybe a win of the year for Illinois baseball. Certainly the most memorable game of the year for the Illini. And a few other things that you may have missed. Light the Eye is sponsored in part by Logic Coworking. We're so delighted to have them on board as a part of the show because Robert and I use Logic to prepare for these shows and get some other work done as well. It's a fantastic environment for whatever it is you need to accomplish. It's friendly and distraction-free, whether you're a remote worker who needs an office, a professor who wants just a little bit of a different environment to get a job done, or you student getting down to finals time not too far down the road. Come in and retreat and study at Logic Co-working. There's fast internet, free printing, a kitchen, conference rooms, even a locker room and showers. And most importantly, there's a friendly and helpful staff for you. And if you're a member, you get 24/7 access for whatever your work schedule or sleep schedule may be. There's memberships available for each month, or there's day passes available, and it's adjacent to the Bake Lab and Napoli's restaurant if you're hungry or need a pastry or a coffee. And students, don't forget, there's a discount for you. Logic Co-working at the corner of St. Mary's and Neal in Champaign, right near the State Farm Center and Geese Memorial Stadium. Robert, let's talk about some of the weekend events for Illinois. We had a big baseball series that I called on the radio. Illinois hosted a top 20 team, the number 19 Oregon Ducks, who are trying to stay in a position to be a host in the NCAA tournament. If Illinois could get some wins on this weekend, certainly would not only help their position in the Big Ten standings, but bolster their resume a little bit. So here's the thing. Oregon takes a Friday night game, which actually became a Friday afternoon game because of weather, and they run rule it. And it's they have some guys that just powered some home runs out. They're the top home run hitting team in the conference and one of the best in the nation. And this is just part of their game. And the wind is out at Illinois Field, as it so often is. So a lot of home runs, and but a couple of them that just take the wind out of your sails, because it wasn't just a little got a hold of one. I mean, it was a 496 footer off a tree. You know, so it's, what's game two gonna be like? That's a beautiful thing about baseball, right? Tomorrow is another day, and unlike football, you don't have to wait for a week or sometimes 2 weeks because of a bye or whatever. You get to wake up, the sun's up the next day, and get to have a new game. So this becomes a little bit of a back and forth in the middle game of this series, Illinois and Oregon. Each team, I think, got a lead at least once in there, but after six innings, it's tied at four. Then Oregon goes up 6-4. Illinois responds as Oregon's bullpen falters, and they get some big hits. Illinois scores eight runs in the seventh inning. They take a 12-6 lead, Illinois does. And I'm sitting there on top of the world. They're going to get a top 20 win. They're going to even the series. We're going to have a chance to win this thing tomorrow. And you know what happens, right?
Seven runs.
Oregon comes in, and Reed Gannon is Illinois' pitcher on the mound. He's been so consistent, good this year. Doesn't have it for whatever reason. Can't locate. Hits guys, walks guys. And you just knew one guy got walked in, and then a couple batters later, you could just sense it's coming. And now the grand slam's in play. If a grand slam's hit, now it's just going to be a one-run game. Grand slam. So now it's just a one-run game. There's a guy, and two batters later, if a home run gets hit, they're going to take the lead. Of course that happens. And I actually thought of you as, I'm like, if I could right now, I'd be pacing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, I was just, this is, it's over. It's never, I was just in the doldrums.
I'm rubbing off
experienced,
on you.
Yeah. And I'm trying to keep it together because there's a game to be called. So we go to the bottom of the eighth. Illinois down 13-12. they tie it up. They tie it up. 13-13. This game goes into the ninth inning. We pass 4 hours. Usually if you get to 4 hours in a game, you've gone extra innings. This is still the ninth inning. Four plus hours, 13-13. We can bring it up here on the screen. Kyle Shupman is Illinois' third baseman, and he's at the plate. There's runners at first and second. All he needs is a hit. And this kid is a heart and soul type of guy of the team and gets it over the wall going the opposite way. Walk-off home run for three runs. Kyle Shupman with a moment he'll remember for the rest of his life. Now, the other cool thing about this sequence, bring in Ella, is Ella was directing this for Big Ten Plus. And so all the camera shots that you're seeing here, that was you, Ella, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm calling all that. I mean, right about now, I'm screaming at Cam 2 to get me a shot of him. And he got on it really nice.
Directed and
produced the whole thing. They did rip his jersey off. You can see that in the hype video. There's a Gatorade bucket. I mean, there's nothing like directing and producing that game.
It was a great moment. And the other thing for Kyle Shupman, he didn't have a great start offensively at the plate this year. He really struggled. He's been coming around lately, and he had that moment. He's played a great third base all year defensively. So I was just really happy for him and the journey he's had to have in his second year with the Illini.
Let me ask you this question.
So it's a winner there.
This is a broadcasting question. How difficult is calling the oppo home run? Because when somebody laces it opposite field, you're not really thinking he got enough on it to get over the fence. Like the default is if it's going opposite field, it's not. So how do you brace yourself for like this could really go out? Because that has to be so hard. You see it hit, you hit, see it sprayed to the right, and it's like, okay, well, that's not going to, you know. So how difficult is it? You just watching the field, or what do you do? Give me some inside baseball here.
You have to give yourself some room for whatever happens. So I did that, and in part because I didn't know how well it was hit.
Mm-hmm.
So if once it's a home run, I'm at a 9, 9.5 out of 10 with your voice,
mm-hmm.
with your energy. I started that at 6, partly because it actually off the bat to me, it looked like the exact words that I said on the radio call, fly ball. Now, a fly ball can be routine. It was better than a fly ball, so I probably misjudged it slightly. However, in my defense, the wind is howling out.
Yeah.
Coming across, out to right, but kind of coming across. So that's probably the one direction where you're going to get a little extra boost.
Got it.
Now, look, in terms of the game, if it's a fly ball that it's caught, the game situation might not change. Maybe the runner tags and gets from second to third. But if not, then the game situation's not going to change. So it wasn't like a fly ball with a runner on third where you know this now has a chance to score the winning run with a sacrifice fly. But then I see it carrying, and I'm seeing the fielder go to the wall, and then my voice is going up.
Yep.
So I have that room. You start here so you can go up to here or back to, oh, it's caught, it's an out.
I heard the call, so I saw the social media post with your call behind it, and I thought it was great that you set it up with the whole, like, what, bottom of the ninth, two out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the count? Like, two strikes?
3-2.
Yeah, 3-2 count.
Yeah. Like,
that's the
But go back.
What kid hasn't played? I mean, maybe you have bases loaded or something, like when you're playing that in your backyard, but what kid hasn't gone through that moment of, you know, bottom of the ninth, tie game, two out, 3-2 count. This is it right here.
So go back to the screen, if you would, Ella, and I'll just pull this up because, Ella, I don't know if you call for these as the director, but look right here. There's a stat pop-up right above the score bug. that says 10th pitch of the at bat. Okay, so he has fouled off several pitches at this point. Mm-hmm. He obviously saw five pitches and then fouled off five more or four more, whatever. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yep.
Like, he just kept staying on this pitcher and fouling him off, and that gave me time to just get – it's three balls and two strikes. The winning runs on. It's the bottom of the ninth. And I went to my own imaginary moments.
Sure.
In the backyard or side yard, wherever it was, of this is where it's all up to – this is the moment. And so that's where I just said this is a moment kids dream of in their backyard.
Can I ask?
And he got to live that out.
Can I ask the wiffle ball rules in the Beatty backyard? I mean, I have my own set with, like, hit that tree and it's a ground rule double kind of stuff. Did you have any? Did you have a big enough yard to have a wiffle ball field? What did you have?
So I had the house I grew up in, but then I would go to my dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
He lived nearby, and he had a bigger space, and if you went out to one corner of the yard, it was actually technically the front yard, but it was a sort of a side driveway. But anyway, it's a bigger yard, and in one corner, if you're standing at home plate and you pull the ball as a right-hander, you would land it on the roof of the house, which is up a slope. So that was like the upper deck bleachers.
Got it. In this
imaginary stadium. So that's where you would park it to walk it off. Nobody dreams about opposite field home run just slipping it inside the foul pole for the win, but, you know, good enough in real life, that's for sure.
We had the outfielder was in the street, so you had to watch for cars. But then we had the tree, like it was a massive tree that overhung the street. So if you cleared the street, it was a home run. But if you hit at the tree, it really wasn't hard to reach the tree. So it was ground rule double in the tree, but fielder could catch it out of the tree for an out, which caused a lot of consternation. But that was – we just settled on that one. It would be a fly ball. Like a lazy fly ball could hit that tree. So we had to play it as tree is in play. It's a double if you hit it. But if you catch it, it's an out.
All right. So now you're talking about – Richard's yard with me. Okay. That's the
yes.
Okay. Imaginary by yourself is one thing, but I see where you're going with. Okay. Mm-hmm. Richard, he lived catty corner from us.
Yes.
And we play with his yard and the neighbor's yard.
Yep.
But there was a chain link fence in between. So at first, the fence was the home run.
But then when we both got home run. Yep.
Yeah. So then it became the neighbor's yard. Mm-hmm. But then, like, ground balls, we would set up the bases and you know, if you hit the ball to where the shortstop normally was, you know, that's an out, even though, like, it's just me and him playing. But if you, you know, laced it into the outfield, you're going to get a double or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then we both got an amazing play from our defense that we could just play that card. Like, there's a double. Like, nope, that's my amazing play.
Wow.
Fielder dove and caught it.
Oh, I would have loved
And you got one of those
that. Yeah.
You got one of those per game.
We had rules for if it was 2-on-2, then any ground ball was an out. Because the ground balls would all hit, go to the fence, basically. But if it was 3-on-3, you would put a shortstop in front of that fence, and then he had to scoop the ground ball for the out. And if he misses it, it's a hit. So we had a whole set of rules for 2-on-2 and a whole set of rules for 3-on-3.
Ella, should I tell him about the Ducks now?
Wow, I'm really struggling to mute this mic. Yeah, go for it.
The
now,
Oregon.
Now
I'm sorry,
time.
I didn't mean to catch you off guard.
You left him hanging.
All right.
First,
I have to extend my parking. Say, okay, I'm going to choose my stay. How much longer are we going here? I'm going to do that. All right. Da-da-da-da. Charge it to Robert's card. All right, we're good.
Okay.
It's loading. So, Friday morning, or maybe it's Thursday morning. I was having a moment of quiet and solitude by a pond, and I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, two ducks come by. They're just floating along there in my view on the pond. And I said, Lord, is this a sign? we're going to get two wins over the Oregon Ducks? Or wait a minute, is this a sign we're going to lose two? But that would be somewhat respectable because they're a top 20 team. Well, I'd relayed this to Ella, you know, and we went to the rubber game on Saturday and Oregon won. So I don't know how to interpret the two Ducks.
I mean, if Oregon won twice, it meant two Duck wins, right? I mean, that seems pretty cut and dry, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I think if there were three Ducks, then it wouldn't have made sense for the weekend. Two Ducks still makes sense.
And the next time we're playing Oregon and you don't see any Ducks, we're sweeping.
Get scared. Oh, I guess true.
If okay, you but see so yesterday, here's the problem. The
Ducks with a broom, that means a line I sweep.
So is it in this upcoming weekend if you see corn?
The Huskers are in town. That's the thing. Like, there's no corn up right now.
There's no crops up, so
then
we're
sweeping them. I mean, that's a given, right?
The problem is, yesterday, the aforementioned long run that I went on, the 12-miler that you skipped, Ella.
All right,
because
now.
You're whatever, and you can just go run a half marathon.
You know, she's going to check time on Monday. We're going to compare
the paper. The News Gazette prints all of the marathon and half marathon finishes. I think at every race you get printed. Gets printed. You can go check times. But I went on that run, and I went by that pond, and the same two darn Ducks were there. And I was having nasty thoughts about those Ducks, and generally, I like those animals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not geese. Geese, no. But Ducks, I see a duck. I'm like, oh, there's nice. That's a duck. That reminds me of going to feed ducks when I was a little boy with my grandmother.
You said,
and
not
now
geese,
I see these
and
two.
I honestly thought Geese Memorial Stadium. Like,
this
literally,
is about
that was the
are
first
you hating
thing
on Larry Geese right now?
You know, Larry Geese is not like, it's not the animal, right?
Like, if you see Larry Geese, we're winning a national championship in basketball. Right. That's a sign.
All right. I like this. There's no corn up yet. Illinois baseball sweeping Nebraska.
Where is Nebraska still in second in the conference? Where are they at?
Yeah, they are second. Mm. They're playing really well. They just swept USC. They
really?
Just swept USC. Yeah. At home, two run rule wins.
Mm. Well,
it'll be a good test.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think we've done enough today, have we? Is there anything else you wanted to mention there,
all
sir?
All the wiffle ball rules. We got a lot more to cover, but we could do that.
One more thing we do need to shout out. Brandon Dang, Illinois men's gymnastics.
Oh, yeah.
National champion on the pommel horse.
Yes.
Illinois is a team. Illinois hosted the national championships this past weekend at the State Farm Center. Mm-hmm. Brandon Dang wins pommel horse. That means he's an All-American. A couple of the other gymnasts become All-Americans because of how they finished. And the team finishes fifth in the country. I think there's about a dozen teams that go to the national championship.
You know, that puts him in contention for the Dyke Edelman Award, right? You know, it's April, what, 20th now? So got to start thinking about that. It'd be Luke Altmaier's probably up there. Keaton Wagler, obviously. Yeah, I mean, Brandon Dink could win. You win an individual national title. Lucas Bird won the award because he won an individual national title. So, who knows? That could put him in there for the. If people don't know, the Dyke Edelman Award is the Illini Athlete of the Year. They do a male and a female honoree, and yeah, that puts him squarely in the competition.
I wonder on the women's side.
I mean, there's track and field people that could win a title here. So
yeah,
that's going to be hard for anyone to beat.
And I was thinking about the women's basketball team, and I'm trying to think, is there one player that had the amazing standout season? Because they all had really good seasons.
They also do Freshman of the Year Award alongside the Edelman Award. And
yeah, and I could see that being a double dip there for Keaton.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Keaton has that one beyond locked up. But
Yeah, Ciara Parchman, I definitely would put her in the conversation for Freshman of the Year on the women's side.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have two nominees from football, maybe Akis and Altmaier. That'll be interesting to see.
Oh. All right. Until next time.
I'm going to go,
Ella, thank you
walk on the beach right now.
Enjoy your time with your bride there in Florida. Thank you to Ella Peterson. Thank you to our hosts here at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning on the campus of the University of Illinois inside the Armory. Thank you to the U of I Community Credit Union for presenting Light the Eye.
We'll talk again next time. Thank you to the city of O'Fallon, Illinois, for providing a superstar from Fulton Junior High.
That's really nice of you to say about Ella. Oh, wait, Ella, you went to the other one?
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I did go to the other one. Still from O'Fallon, though.
Oh, right. You were talking about the basketball player, but it fits.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you next time. I run to